Hi, I'm Anna Rosa Parker.
And I'm Daniel Lamb, and this is Artist Inclusive, the podcast for ambitious artists who want to find clarity, community, and creative success. So today on the Artist Inclusive podcast, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be talking about what's actually going on inside our community and sort of what people are seeing, what people are doing, and what's coming up in the very near future. So I'm excited to talk with you today, Anna, about just all these cool things that we're seeing happening in real time here.
Yeah, likewise. I'm excited. So we're a couple of months in, and people are really starting to connect. Yeah, I'm excited to kind of just dive into that a little bit with you.
Yeah, so let's kind of start with just talking about who's in this group. What kind of folks are finding value inside of this community?
There are a lot of actors. There are a lot of New York actors I see, a lot of performance artists, theater and TV actors, people who are pursuing that across the country. As of now, there are not a lot of international people there yet. I think that was going to change.
Yeah, and there's definitely some contingency from the Atlanta writing and theater community there as well. As in addition, we've got folks from LA and folks from Seattle joining in.
Yeah, quite a few from Seattle. Yeah, it's very cool. There are music producers. I saw a couple of music producers connecting the other day.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really neat to see like those crossovers between things like electronica and jazz and, you know, rock and roll. So I think maybe to give people a better idea, let's talk a little bit about what sort of structures and weekly rhythms we've cultivated inside the group.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, weekly, we would check in on Mondays about accountability, right?
Yeah, Mondays are a great opportunity to sort of put a stake in the ground and commit to something big or small for the week and just get some momentum around having a goal, having a due date, a next thing, something to push us forward.
Yeah, it's almost as like each week kind of gives you a new opportunity, whether it's a continuing opportunity or if you're struggling with motivation or procrastination, anything, but that Monday gives you that kind of a fresh start in a way.
Absolutely. I mean, like the whole idea is to create a pattern disrupt for not getting stuck. Because it's so easy to just go weeks and weeks and say that you're working on something and like, then everything else comes up, right? And then how did you get 90 days into a project and almost have nothing done? Well, the idea is like, let's not let that happen. So we do that throughout the week. And we also talk about cultivating a culture of celebration and like celebrating our wins.
Yeah, exactly. So on Friday, yeah. So throughout the week, we check in. There's the Monday and then Wednesday check in. Fridays, we encourage the artists to share their work. And whether that is via a link or they just tell us what they've been doing, if there was some kind of a win, it could be big, could be small, it could be just incremental step towards anything. But I think that's really important to celebrate your win. So it's not, because as artists, we're already so much constantly beating ourselves up for not having done enough or not being there yet, whatever there is. And but being able to come together and celebrate these wins and process moving forward is, I think, is really healthy. And it's a good mindset shift from previously maybe just being frustrated.
Yeah, absolutely. I know in my own art practice, it's easy to fall into a deficit mindset. Say I sit down and write a new song. It's easy to say, well, I should have written two songs. Or say I finished a writing piece, and like I could have done it faster. Or it wasn't as good as I hoped it could be. And that totally negates the fact that I finished something or I created something. And it's worth celebrating. And it's not just good for our own mindset. It's good to show other people as well that creation deserves celebration.
Yeah. 100%. And I think also what is kind of cool is you get to test your own deliverables. Maybe you were putting too much pressure on yourself too. Maybe you were asking yourself to do too much that wasn't really possible. So it's an ongoing disappointment. But then being able to test it kind of and have these weekly kind of measures or marks, it allows you to try out different timelines and the load you give yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So much of success and failure comes down to like expectations and definitions. And so if I'm constantly trying to set a really high bar and then failing, like this sort of framework gives me the opportunity to question, well, how well is that framework actually working for me? Because if I'm in a state of constant failure, that's not cultivating motivation. It's cultivating, well, desperation, really, not inspiration. So I think it's really valuable.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons we decided to create this. But I do want to touch on that, actually, because I feel like this is just the nature of the community. It has, I wouldn't say shifted, but it has evolved and taken on a little bit of a life of its own in there. And so that's something you cannot foresee.
Yeah. One of the things that I found really interesting is that there's people who are throwing their ideas together and organizing like table reads of their plays or creating little mini companies and like having these conversations and showing up for each other. That's really cool to see.
Yeah, it is. And I've just gotten quite a few just DMs, people thanking us for creating this. And we're not here just to pat ourselves on the back, but I'm glad that it's useful. It's supporting and bringing people together. And after this year and a half and living in this from lockdown to still restrictions, having this community just makes you feel like you're a part of something. You have a group of people and people are getting to know each other. Some people are quiet. A lot of people are quiet too. It takes time to kind of ease into starting to express yourself, or people are different that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And just because a certain person doesn't speak up and participate in a conversation on social media doesn't mean that they're not paying attention and maybe finding inspiration and testing things out on their own and maybe just not documenting it like in a public space. But I know that this is true for online groups across the board, is that it's never 100% sure like exactly what that impact is. It's always probably going to be more than you think.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a part of anything like that. So there are a lot of things that are just coming that are fun surprises, what people are doing, what they're asking for. You know, people have asked us, even if we had those accountability Mondays, people have asked for more accountability to be like really hold accountable to, for us to check in on their process with the work.
Exactly. You know? I think one time I missed the post and someone was like, where's the accountability post? Like I want to check in on something. And I'm like, that's really good to know that it's creating an anchor and that is meaningful.
And I think you and I were also trying to see like, is that what people want? And then like, if we don't do it, people, they miss it. Yeah. I've run into an artist from the community on the streets in New York, and somebody who has not been necessarily vocal, but just showing the appreciation and feeling part of a new world. And that's just what we've been learning so much too in this last year and a half, how the world is getting bigger and smaller at the same time, and how we're connecting globally and just infinite possibilities with communities like that.
Absolutely. And as our virtual spaces become more inclusive and more far reaching, it really does create sort of a localization within our field, right, of artistry. And so never has there been a time where like people of such a diverse set have direct access to one another and to their own, like to each other's ideas, to have like, you hear conversations about things like cross pollination and melting pots, but because of the pandemic and because of basically our push inward, because we all want to be safe, creativity finds a way, sort of like Jurassic Park, right? Jeff Goldblum, like life finds a way. Well, so does creativity and community. And, you know, we're not the only community out there, obviously. So we can't claim like ownership of anything, but it's just cool to see like those connections happening under one roof, so to speak.
Yeah. What's your like favorite part of all this? What excites you about the community and what we're doing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's not what I thought, honestly. Like I went into this thinking that people were going to latch onto one thing. And really what I've seen cropping up across pretty much every type of artistic vertical, if you will, is this hunger for mindset and accountability, which I personally, my background is in like in marketing. And so I imagine that people were going to be wanting to focus on like growing their businesses online. And I think that's just probably a bubble that I've been in for my own business. But, you know, so much of doing that starts with mindset and accountability. And so even having those conversations about like, what makes it hard for people to put themselves out there and what sort of blocks are coming up? And it's really interesting to hear people opening up about that and talking about their struggles and maybe finding inspiration in other people's stories. That for me is really exciting.
Yeah, totally.
And I think too, like for people, it's good to have that, like that safety and that sort of, I don't know, sort of protected space to have those conversations where we can be honest, we can be to a degree vulnerable with each other and just have those open conversations that aren't necessarily undermining our expertise or showing a certain part of the world something that they don't necessarily need to see. This is a community for artists, of artists. And so I think that that is uniquely valuable.
Yeah. People are sharing things. Yeah. And the vulnerability, sharing things that they might not share on their own social media, but because they know they're in a safe space. I feel like some people are just more open. I know. And I want to go back to like, when we started this, we were like thinking that artists wanted to learn a little bit more about marketing themselves and putting their content out there. And that is still happening. People want that. But it did surprise me how much of the mindset kind of shift they were after and how people are struggling more with motivation, procrastination. And even actors are scared to put themselves out there. So that thin line of fear of success and fear of failure is kind of thinner than I realized.
It's a very thin veil. And I think things like imposter syndrome or the other question, which is who am I to even put something out there? I think both of these, the imposter complex of they'll find out that I'm not legit, or I couldn't possibly put something out there next to my neighbor who is a famous playwright. What do I have to bring to the conversation? These kinds of anxieties are ubiquitous.
Very much real. I've done a couple of workshops. I do love working with artists on, you know, personal branding for artists. There's so many ways to do that and to simplify that. And that I feel like artists think it's very complicated and they don't know where to start or what even is that? What is personal branding? Going into that and helping people with that, it's very rewarding to me. And I just love seeing people having those aha moments.
Absolutely. You know? I remember one of the things that came out of that workshop was giving some people clarifying questions to ask, like, why do people trust you? What do they come to you for? Like having questions that really just help to distill the ethos of the artist or the personality. Because like you said, it doesn't have to be super, super complicated and we don't have to get stuck in the weeds.
Right. Yeah. And it's often asking, very simple questions, self-asking and having these questions, you know, even if you know what you like and you think how you come across, there's so many things that can just, you can simplify and to allow people to kind of show up with and in their magic, because we all have some kind of a magic. And I don't know, artists, we're just so hard on ourselves. Artists are so hard on themselves. And it's just really cool to see them starting to think like, oh, I can just do that. I can just, you know, show up like that and be more authentic than. And that's the thing too, the authenticity, that's simplifying things with personal branding. It's the authenticity that you hear this word all the time, but kind of going a little nitty gritty on what that is, what that means for you is really fun to see too.
Absolutely. That really brings us to an interesting crossroads in the conversation, because everything that you're saying is so on point. And this is exactly why we've decided to create a short program, a boot camp, if you will, to help people kind of like get over some of these initial hurdles and to start cultivating that mindset and that culture of accountability for themselves and for one another that will pay dividends in the long term. Because obviously creating a mindset of improvement is a long-term process, and a 6-week boot camp isn't going to completely reshape your psyche, but it can plant the seeds and give you a sense of order and a sense of structure into how that comes about.
Yeah. The artists in there, we're all storytellers, right? Every artist is telling some kind of a story. And then being able to control your own story and narrative in a way is very, not just inspiring, it's relieving in a way. You know what I mean? To see how much you can have a part of telling your own story, controlling that narrative with these mindset shifts and getting shit done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just really what it's all about, right? Because I mean, we can hang out and talk about feelings and mindset all day, but the way that it really starts to take hold is mindset plus action, right? And so a lot of what we're going to be teaching in here and what people will be able to walk away with is how to implement and how to control time or use time, because everyone has some amount of time, right? Outside of their obligations to family and work, whatever that number is for us. One of the big pillars of how we go about this is, it's not rocket science and it's nothing revolutionary or new, but we're looking at something called Big Rocks Theory, which is really coming down to fundamentals and what's really important. So do you want to talk a little bit about Big Rocks and how that has maybe helped you?
Yeah, sure. You and I are both inspired by that method and has worked for me in the sense of before I started to work with that idea, I always had a list of a lot of things. And it was just a long list. And I felt like I could never get to a lot of the stuff that I wanted to get to. But using the Big Rocks Theory is just a clever and simple way to prioritize. And it has just helped me to get closer to the bigger projects that I wanted to get to. And because one of these projects is a long-term goal, and then implementing the little steps along the way, it's what it does, how it helps me mentally is it's not compartmentalized. It's all part of the same thing. And because I've struggled with that, like feeling like you probably heard me say, I feel like a couple of different people. I live in two countries, have this like different worlds. But when you can kind of put it all together and then, I don't know, there's kind of a healing aspect to it too. Does that make sense?
It does. For me, the healing aspect is giving myself permission to make progress on things that I define as really valuable for myself. Because like you, I think myself, I've been through this and I know that this is 99.9% of other people, but we do kind of get carried away by urgency of our to-do list, right? A lot of the things on those to-do lists, they're not all weighted equal. Some of those things like write my novel or produce my play or land a feature film as an actor, like that might be on the list with doing the laundry or taking the dog to the groomers or shopping for groceries or meal planning. And like all these things, right, they have importance in our lives. But like you said, it comes down to making room for the big things so that all the other little urgent things that just have to get done will get done. Because again, there's this thing called Parkinson's Law, and we haven't really talked about Parkinson's Law, but in short, work expands to the time allotted. So if we put time in a box and we force ourselves gently, of course, to prioritize the things that will get us to those big, big goals, everything else will fall in line. And visually speaking, the Big Rocks Theory is this idea that if you fill up a jar full of sand, you can't get anything else in it, and the big rocks will never get in the jar. And the jar is obviously like our time. But if we put the big rocks in first and then we pour in the sand somehow fits in, and the big rocks then are now in the jar with the sand. And so that's what this prioritization philosophy allows. It allows us to make an impact on our biggest, most important goals. And then all the other crap just gets done.
Yeah, it does. And it does because it doesn't have to take the task of going to the grocery shouldn't take center stage, but it has to get done. Otherwise, there's no food in the house. But if you allow to the tasks that are going to lead you to completing that one big goal, if you do a little bit of that every day and you prioritize that, the rest will get done because it has to get done. It just doesn't take up center stage.
Exactly. And one of the concepts that you introduced me to is Unovation. And it's this idea that there are workable systems that we can pick up and implement. And as artists, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Can you talk a little bit about the artist mindset and what Unovation means?
Yeah, I came across that word and I just fell in love with it. And I felt like, what can I do with that? And especially at this time, everybody was talking about innovation. We had to innovate to be a part of today's future, which is being living responsibly. And companies and people were innovating new things. And I thought, we really don't have to innovate every single thing. There's so much that has been created. And who knows what happens in Silicon Valley. There are going to be so many things that are unused. And we can use different systems and tools. And so it's a sustainable way of thinking to take something that has been created and implementing it to your own fitting, so it fits your life and your process without spending money, time, energy, and for more stuff, because it's all, everything has been created for us.
Really, the heart of what we're going to be doing in this boot camp is breaking down how to figure out how to retrofit those systems for ourselves. And so this looks like a couple of different things. It looks like prioritization and like getting really clear about what's important from like a goals perspective. It looks like working on our mindset gradually to really allow ourselves to do meaningful work. But then it also gets down into some of the more mundane details of figuring out what times we're most creative and what times we're most procedural, and sort of prioritizing our daily calendars around when our energy is working the best and in our favor, and sort of kind of gamifying the system, because ultimately everybody's unique. And so it's not about getting up at 5 a.m. or staying up until 3 a.m. to find that magical silence of creative bliss or having this perfect ritual. It's about coming up with some sort of workable pattern that is okay for my life, for your life. And it doesn't have to look like yours and mine do not have to match at all.
And that's energy management is something that is kind of new to me to think about it in those terms. And that's so valid. And again, like you said, it's not, you know, rocket science or whatever. It's, these are simple things, but it's a matter of doing it in a way that works for you and doing it together, to having the support and the accountability. And yeah, this workshop we're talking about is alongside the community and the podcast. And I just want to clarify that if anybody is wondering, that the community and the podcast will continue to be here for everybody, and it's complimentary. And these workshops that we'll have alongside are completely optional and they're not free. And another reason for that being is not just for you and I to get paid for our work. It's because when you pay for some kind of a fee into a fellowship or a workshop, you just imply yourself in a very different way than when our free $0.
Yeah. So our goal here isn't to obviously profiteer and get rich off of people through creating workshops. But like, just imagine the difference between if you were to pay for a workshop with your favorite author or your favorite actor versus going on YouTube and just watching a bunch of videos. Making an investment in ourselves motivates us to create change. And ultimately, that change is the ultimate value of an endeavor. When I first started making investments in my business and in myself, I had some reservations. I was like, are these people legit? Are they going to take advantage of me? Is this going to be a good investment? And ultimately, I found that at the end of the day, it's like you can buy gym equipment for your house, but if you aren't applying it, you aren't working out, then it's not going to make a difference. It's the same thing with any learning process. You know, you could be a great student and go to class and do your assignments and get A's and move forward, or you could be someone who signs up and does the bare minimum or less and gets absolutely nothing from it. So at the end of the day, like, motivation and investment are part and parcel and proof, right?
Yeah. And I'm a living proof of that. Well, two of those things. Been trying to work out at home with videos and equipments and things like that. And it was just not sustainable. It was very cryptic. And now I'm in Iceland for the summer and I belong to a gym here and I go several times a week. It's just entirely different. And same with the mastermind group that we're in. That was like, that was kind of uncomfortably comfortable to pay that because that's a 1 year. So that commitment, I remember when I started, I was like, it's kind of exciting how uncomfortable it is. I found a comfort in that. Like I had to apply myself because I'm paying that amount of money.
And maybe it would be helpful to also talk about, from your perspective, the difference in being a member of that gym or being a member of that mastermind. Have you found that being around people who are doing the same thing has helped with your momentum?
Yeah, 100%. I like to be surrounded by people that I'm inspired by, that have done not just more than me. I don't like to measure, but things that people that inspire me, that they might be really smart or they have accomplished something that is really inspiring. Just to surround myself with people. I don't want to be the smartest one in the room. I don't want to be the one who knows it all unless I'm a teacher in the room or something. But this is a way to, for me, like in the mastermind program, for example, first when I start, I was in awe of what people are doing. And for the first little while, I felt overwhelmed and I didn't think I would reach a certain place or figure out certain things that I have now done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like you've changed your service offerings, you've raised your prices, you're landing better clients.
Yeah, raised my prices.
Started
exactly.
A podcast and a community. Yeah. And like so much change over the course of less than a year, right?
So much. Yeah. In 8 or 9 months. And that is because when I come into our mastermind program, that was just shortly after the pandemic, or a few months, you know, into the pandemic when I had lost my business because I was working with hospitality clients. And going into the mastermind program, I'm also coming from, you know, I have a freelancer mindset, right? Even if I had an LLC, I still treated myself like a freelancer. And I charge kind of by the hour or, you know, project. But yeah, my rates have changed. I know the worth. I now understand my worth and the value of the work that I have to offer. And that's a really good place to be in. When you see that, it's a different, you get off that hamster wheel. It's a different hamster wheel.
And I'll say this, like, I think the big mindset shift for me, and I think for a lot of creatives, is that we tend to underprice our value because we think, oh, this is easy for me. I can knock it out so quick. I will only charge you a portion of what I should. But there's that story and the metaphor of the Picasso theory. And if you don't know the story, it's pretty short. Picasso is dining at a restaurant. And somebody sees him and they just become enamored and they walk over to them and they say, Mr. Picasso, I would be honored if I could have that napkin you're drawing on, because he's just hanging out and doodling. And Picasso says, okay, I can sell you this napkin that I've been drawing on. It'll be $30,000. And then the person, of course, is incredulous and they're like, well, it's just a napkin. Why would you charge me so much? You only spent 12 minutes on that. He goes, I'm not charging you for 12 minutes. I'm charging you for 50 years of experience. And so it's about knowing like the potential of our impact and understanding that expertise and knowledge aren't free, right? They cost us something to cultivate. And so it's not really doing us any favors to underprice ourselves and to do free work and to grovel, I think, in the industry, which whatever our industry is. And obviously, like, there's no like hard rule on like what to charge and when to do something for free or not. But I think it's about cultivating a different mindset, because at the end of the day, whatever we charge, whatever we provide, it should be a win-win, a mutually sustainable relationship between us and who we're working for, whether that's a client or a job or a gig, whatever.
Yeah. Artists are notorious for undercharging and working for free and having a fear of asking for more and the fear of being fired from the gig. But if we just dive into that a little bit and find our worth, it's going to be a better livelihood. It's amazing what artists are asked for. It's just ridiculous how it's still expected that artists do things for free. I believe in doing pro bono work and doing certain things for free, but this way of life, how artists are often treated, just expected to do things for a nickel or free. It's just like not acceptable in the long run.
I know there's a joke out there, which is, hey, this doesn't pay, but you'll get lots of exposure. And it's like, I can't afford that because I might die of exposure, freezing to death out in the cold because I've done too much free crap.
Jesus,
so,
yeah.
You know, so really like this whole idea of getting stuff done or get shit done and this boot camp that we put together, it really stands for goals, systems, and disciplines. Our goals really are grounded in where we want to move ourselves professionally and personally, and clearing out the mindset blocks that are stopping us from taking action on those big rocks.
Yes, please.
And in order to make those goals achievable and to get momentum around them, we're going to help you develop systems. And when I say systems, I mean systems of protecting your time, prioritizing your tasks, and really questioning the things that you're bringing into your day-to-day so that you can keep, quote-unquote, sacred space for those big, important things.
And while doing that, it's how we grow more into what we are representing, like back to the controlling your narrative. That aligns with it in that once you start to get shit done and find your rhythm and your systems and discover new ways of how to be disciplined with yourself.
And when we talk about discipline, we don't mean like being hard on yourself or like having to report to the drill sergeant. This is really around cultivating accountability and consistency. Because I think back to my very first creative writing class, and the teacher walks in and gives his spiel, and then he says something that I'll never forget. And he said, creativity functions best through limitation. And I thought, what do you mean? And he said, well, think about it this way. If I gave you a blank canvas and I said, make me a beautiful painting, how would that play out next to, if I gave you a blank canvas and I said, make me a beautiful painting of the Venus de Milo, right? Like there's a constraint, right? There's a goal. There is a concept that you can use to channel your creativity. The same thing is true with our goals and our systems and our day-to-day lives. If we create these constraints and these systems of accountability, we can actually achieve real freedom. Because without some clarity and without some direction, we are want to stay in procrastination and second guessing or limiting beliefs and fears that I'll never be great enough or I'll never get this done because I have too much baggage. Or so creative freedom through constraints is what discipline is all about.
And that goes into also how much more control we have as artists and creative people. It's not just waiting for that call. When you apply yourself and use these systems, you are controlling your path much more than artists sometimes allow themselves to believe. There's this idea of just like wishing and hoping and praying. If you practice every single day with apply yourself daily with these systems, you will get there. It might not look like what you thought it was going to look like or hoped to, but you will get there.
Absolutely. And you know, the goal of these systems is to exercise those mental and creative muscles and emotional muscles, because just like going to the gym and doing a max out where you push your muscles to the limit in order to create new stamina, or as an artist, if you're training vocally, in order to hit a new high note, you have to stretch into it, right? You can't just go from 0 to 60. And so these things work together to create that stretch and to give us the opportunity to develop into newer, wider capacities. And it's a gentle process that has a trajectory to it.
I hope this episode doesn't sound like a long sales call, but we just really want to talk about what we're doing and introduce that and, you know, address it, because it's changed our lives and we just want to pay it forward in a certain way.
Absolutely. And please, if you're listening to this, don't mistake my enthusiasm for this focus as being pushy, because at the end of the day, I don't want anybody to invest in this that isn't sure. This isn't for everybody. And at the end of the day, like if you want to join this bootcamp, great. If you don't, no problem. This really isn't a sales pitch. This is just me talking about the changes that I've experienced and that I've seen in others. And if that sounds attractive to you, it's something that you would like to experience for yourself, then give it a try.
And if not, if, you know, just continue to, or, you know, come and join the community or continue to be there. And that's another way to do it too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody needs a different level of support. And some people are killing it with just showing up and getting some free accountability and being able to tap into their goals and be inspired. And that's our main goal. So whether you do that through free resources in the podcast, or if you want to jump into this program, like, at the end of the day, like, we're just happy that artists are moving their ball forward.
That's it. We need more creativity out here in the world.
So yeah, if you're listening to this podcast right now, the doors for the Get Shit Done Bootcamp will be open pretty soon. The program will run from October the 4th through November the 19th. So it's a short commitment meeting for about an hour a week, and there'll be some stuff to implement outside. So, you know, this isn't a massive time commitment. It's designed so that anybody can work this into their already busy routine and get some quick wins.
The Artist Inclusive Podcast is brought to you by the Artist Inclusive Facebook group and artistinclusive.com. Learn more about Artist Inclusive at our website or join our free Facebook group. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, please consider giving us a rating on Apple Podcasts and share this message with somebody that you think would enjoy this podcast. This is how you're able to reach more engaged and impactful artists just like you.